2 Kings chapter 3, verses beginning verse 7, and then we'll read through verse 18. Let's stand if you would. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" Now this is, let me back up verse 6. This is King Jehoram from Samaria, who was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel at this time.
Yes, sir.
Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom, Judah.
Right.
And now Jehoshaphat was a good king.
Yes,
in fact, he's one of the better ones that southern kingdom ever had. And he was a man of God. Now, let me back read verse 7 again. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." But there's only one difference here. He's ganging up with some folks that don't even serve God.
Right.
Verse 8, and he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. Three kings here, three kingdoms are going up to battle against Moab. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host.
Yes, sir.
Had everything they thought that they needed, but they left out the main ingredient. There was no water. Now keep that in mind. Hallelujah. Can't do without the water, can we? For there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord?"
Amen.
That means we may inquire of the Lord by him.
Amen.
And he's on one mission, God. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said,
"Right.
Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah."
Right.
And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father." You haven't served God all this time. Why are you coming to me now?
Amen.
He says, "Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And talking about Baal worship, because he worshipped Baal.
Right.
And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, who's the only good one that's there,
right,
the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee." Verse 15, "But now bring me a minstrel." Now notice this peculiar request. "Bring me a minstrel." In other words, somebody to play an instrument. "And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, Thus saith the Lord." This is the remedy. Listen here. "Make this valley full of ditches." Amen. "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts.
Right.
And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also under your hand." Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for what you've done. Thank you for your word, God. I pray that you'll help us to rightly divide it. Lord, as we look to you tonight, God, for instruction, Father, Lord, it doesn't come from me, Father. I don't have any. Lord, we need you. Well, I'm just a vessel, God. Lord, you send what we need, and if you don't, God, we don't have it, Lord. It comes only from you. We don't come in our name, Father, but in your name. We don't come, God, based on anything that we may have accomplished. For, Lord, we have not accomplished anything. God, we have no merits of our own. We come in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us what we need tonight. Thank you for all that we've already been able to witness tonight. And, Lord God, now speak to us, Father, each one of us in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. I want to use the thought tonight, if we want to see the power of God, Let's get out and go to work. Amen? If we want to see the power of God, let's get out and go to work. And you just pray for a little bit. Now, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, that these things that we witness in the Old Testament especially are examples for us. They're examples for you and I. And God didn't do it just by accident. God is not a just spur-of-the-moment God. God knows what He's doing. Amen. He knows why we're here tonight. It's not an accident that we showed up. God sent us here. Every individual, if He would have wanted a Billy Graham sitting right there, He'd have put Billy Graham right there, but He put you and me in this place. God has a purpose tonight. And God has a purpose in His plan. And thank God you and I are in His plan. We need to find our place in God's plan. Amen? Every one of us, and I'm going to tell you, there are no one that's big, no one that's big, no one that's little. We're all equal in the sight of God. And thank God at the foot of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we are equal. We come before Him in need. And tonight, I have need of Him. Don't you hear me? Amen. Hallelujah. So we have here, first of all, three well-equipped armies going out to battle. They've got everything that they need. Three armies that we see here, well-equipped. Now, I don't know what kind of weaponry they had. Probably the usual in that day. Probably maybe some cavalrymen. Maybe the archeries. Maybe even they had some foot soldiers that went out and had swords and shields and spears and things of that nature. And they had the utmost of weaponry at that time. And they went out against the enemy. And probably, as a rule, you would look here, they're going against Moab. And Moab probably doesn't stand a chance. They're heading out thinking we've got it made. We're going to win this battle. However, there's something missing here. Let me tell you something today. It's all right to be well equipped. We ought to be as equipped as we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of our churches today are so well equipped. We have great choirs. We have all the facilities that we've never experienced down through time. I was in a church down in St. Augustine back in the summertime on vacation. There was a pipe organ that filled the entire front of that building. I thought I'd love to hear what that thing sounded like. Then you go to other places and maybe an entire orchestra in one area. I like that stuff. Amen. Don't you? I thank God that we're equipped to do the work of God. But let me tell you something, neighbor. Even though these people were well equipped, they were doing very little. Oh, let me say this tonight to you. Many of us today in church, we're well equipped. We're going out thinking we're going to win the battle, but we're doing very little. Let's look tonight, but my friends, we need more than equipment. We need God. We need the water to win the battle. Hallelujah. Thank God they were well equipped. I'm glad that when I got saved, I got equipped. Amen?
Yes.
Thank God for Jesus Christ. So here we have three armies going out. They've got everything going their way. Now listen, I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture in Revelation 3 and 17. Jesus is talking here when He was talking to John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, "But because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not thou that thou art wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked." He's talking about a church who has everything. Talking about a church that's rich. Talking about a church that seemingly don't need anything, but He's also talking about a church that's doing nothing. Let me say this to you tonight, neighbor. We may have everything we may want, but there's something else we need. We need God more than ever before. Don't put your faith in the things of the world. Let's not put our faith in the things that we may have. We still need the water. A simple commodity. A simple commodity as water stopped three entire armies. Glory to God. So we have three armies well equipped. Secondly, tonight we see a very alarming discovery. We've already alluded to it a little bit. They get out there. They're on their way to battle. How many of you have ever been on your way to Sunday school and you get in the battle? Yeah. Have you? You know, if a devil ever hits you, he'll hit you on your way to church.
Right.
And I'll tell you, there's a good reason he don't want you to get there. It'll be that time that mama will start fussing. I know you don't do that, do you? Amen. How many of you around here ever have a problem on Sunday morning? I'm not talking about my wife fussing. I'm just saying generally, anything can happen. Amen. She's here tonight. She can hear me. Glory to God. Listen, if anything will go wrong, it'll go wrong on the way to church. You'll have a flat tire. Anything you can imagine, it will happen.
Right?
Oh, but let me tell you, thank God. It's worth it when you get there, isn't it? I'd rather be I'm glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me say this to you, it's still a special place. It's still special to go to the house of God. An alarming discovery.
That's right.
On the way, we've got everything going our way. Car washed, suit pressed, tie looking right, hanging just right. And all of a sudden, they discover they don't have the water. These armies out there on their way, and hey, there's no way we can lose this battle. All the strategists who sent their intelligence reports to the chief of naval or army operations are saying,
right,
there'll be no problem here. You go up against Moab.
Right.
Here they go, all three armies.
Amen.
They're halfway there and they realize they've left something out. They're doing nothing because they don't have any water.
Right.
Don't have any water.
Amen.
There's some things you can do without, you can't do without water very long.
Right.
Right. Amen. Water is a type of salvation, isn't it?
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? John chapter 4 and verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst.
Right.
Hallelujah. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
Water is a type of salvation. And then the Bible also says, amen, John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, you know what they do? 8-day feast of tabernacles. They'd start the day out, the day of festivities. The high priest would come with a golden pot in his hand, go to the pool of Siloam and dip it full of water. And then they'd have a long procession, people behind them shouting and praising God on their way to the great altar. When they get there, they pour the water out. They did that once a day for 8 on the 8. Oh, hallelujah! Signifying there's some things that they're looking, first of all, for the giving of the Holy Spirit promised by the Messiah. They remembered a lot of things symbolically as they did this. And in the midst of this procession, Brother Gary, Jesus stood there. They were probably walking right in front of him. He said, if any man thirst, come unto me, I'll give you water. Hallelujah to Jesus. In other words, you know what he's saying? I'm fulfillment of what they're doing. Yes! You can't make it without the water.
Amen. Amen.
Three armies well equipped, but they don't have what they need. Isaiah 44:3 said, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty,
right,
and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, the scripture hath said, out his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Neighbor, let me tell you something tonight. We must have the water of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well equipped churches everywhere, having everything they need but,
amen,
the water.
Right.
The Presbyterians, I hope this just doesn't offend anybody. And I'm saying this, let's pray for some folks they need. The Presbyterians just voted it's all right to have gays in the pulpit. And I'll say this. The church died just a little bit more when it happened.
Right.
The Methodists, and I don't mean us,
Amen.
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 Let me back up and do that again. The Methodists, and I don't mean us, took the blood out of the hymn books.
God has.
Every song that mentions the blood, let's take it out. Well, let me tell you, the Bible still says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We must have the water. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Churches. Build a fine cathedral. Some of the biggest churches I know of, they don't have any water.
Right?
I'm not knocking big churches. I hope we can double size ours pretty quick. Amen? Because I believe if we do what God wants us to do, we're going to grow a little bit. So we have churches. And even the Baptists, many of us can relate there. I have a Baptist background. I grew up, my daddy's 80 years old, pastoring right now. A little Baptist church over in Waco, Georgia. The Baptists are wrestling with liberalism. It's creeping in on every head. But we're not immune or exempt either. We think of all that we've got, but what are we doing with it? Think about it. We got all this stuff. It's all right to have it, praise God. But let me tell you this, and one thing I guess we pride over everything else is freedom in worship. Hallelujah. But let me say this, thank God, neighbor. We must not leave out the power of God. It can become fleshism. It can become motivated by the flesh. And if we leave the Spirit out, it's without the water.
Amen. Right.
God bless you. There's a little animal. Little bitty critter. They call it an ichneumon. And this thing loves to kill cobras. And this thing will die if it's bitten and it don't get help. It's got a remedy. Guess what it does? There's a certain plant that grows where it lives. And if he can get to that plant, nibble on it a little bit, it'll offset the effects of the venom of the cobra.
Amen.
He sees the enemy over there and he creeps up on it. Wow! He jumps on that dude and it bites him. He just runs over here and starts nibbling. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! He just nibbles. He nibbles on it and he gets better. Strength comes back and he jumps on him again. He gets bit again. He goes back to that. Oh, hallelujah. And he eats on it a little more. And finally, he wins the battle. What are you saying? I'm saying when the devil comes by, neighbor, you better be close to the power. You better be close to the water. Go over and get a sip.
That works.
And go back and fight a little more.
Right.
And then go and sip a little more. And go back and fight a little more. After a while, the devil don't want to mess with you no more. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. We got to have the power of God.
Right.
We've got to have it. There's no way in the world. Yes, there's an alarming discovery.
Right.
On our way to battle, and yes, all of a sudden, there's no water.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when I was a young boy, 14 years old, I discovered exactly what life was all about. The Lord Jesus gave me a sip of the water of life. And I've never been the same since. And oh, when the devil comes rattling his chain, I just try to get a hold of that water. Get a sip of it and keep on going for the Lord. So we have three armies well equipped.
Amen.
We have an alarming discovery here. No water. And then we find that there's an urgent inquiry. We've got a problem here. What do we do? Well, the Bible says, Jehoshaphat says, we need a man of God. How many of you men of God's ever been somewhere, invite somebody to church, and they don't welcome you too good?
Amen.
You ever been there? They'll tell you every excuse they can. We don't have time to go to church. And then they'll send you on your way.
Amen.
And you never see them. But when something happens,
right. Uh-huh.
They remember, oh, that preacher man over there.
Yeah.
Let's call him. He'll know what to do.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. So they call the man of God. That's what they did here. There's a man of God over here. Let's go get him.
Right.
So they call on the man of God that just happens to be Elisha. A great man of God. Let me tell you something. I don't know how it is where you operate. But we're not as popular as we used to be as men of God. Or as men of God used to be. People don't respect the man of God as they used to. Used to, a man of God would walk up, a dirty joke was going on, they'd quit, talk about something else. Now they keep right on going. They don't respect the man of God. Church secretary. Man calls up and says, I want to speak to the head hog at the trough. The church secretary says, are you talking about our pastor? He said, yes. She said, this man said, yes. And she said, I don't appreciate you talking about my pastor that way. I've got a $10,000 donation I want to give.
Amen.
She said, well, hang on. I think the big pig just came in the door.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're not respected like we used to be.
Right.
They'll commercialize you, take advantage of you.
Right.
Let me say this. It's worth it. It's the sweetest walk you'll ever know. It's the sweetest talk you'll ever talk. It's the sweetest walk you'll ever walk. In fact, the Bible said you got blessed feet.
Amen.
Amen. I got blessed feet, Toby. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Man of God. Let's call him. We need him.
You're right.
Things are not looking so good, so they call the man of God. And he comes along. Hallelujah. You know what? I've often talked, and the devil won't get a hold of him. He'll say, well, you know, they use it. You said, just don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Ever told you that?
Sure.
But you know what you'll do every time? You'll pick up the phone, you'll say, I'll be right there.
Right.
Why? Because we're motivated by a power greater than ours.
Right.
As the prophet said, it's shut up in my bones like a fire.
Amen.
Couldn't quit if I wanted to. Oh, what motivates us? It's not power. It's not fame or fortune. But it's a method and a loving Savior that commissioned us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes, yes.
And He gives us a little water to boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I like that water.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But if you want the power, there's something we got to do. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says that Elisha said, I wouldn't even come to you if it not be for that good man that's among you.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, you'll stand out just like a sore thumb.
Amen. Amen.
At least we ought to.
Sure. Yeah, right.
But that's even changing a lot of folks. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll stand out. So just bless my heart. Good. Somebody comes up and say, hey, you a Christian, aren't you? Yes.
Amen.
You a preacher, aren't you? Yes. How'd you know whether something about you?
Amen. Yeah.
It's that water.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I saw it on you, preacher. Glory to God. And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's sweet. It's so wonderful. And now this great prophet says, if it hadn't been for him, did you know God just might do some blessing just on account of somebody good being around?
You're right. Amen. Amen.
What would your home or your family be without you?
Right. Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Well, the Bible says that it's because of Jehoshaphat, and because of that, he said, yes, I'll be there. But you read the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, even though he was a good man, he allied himself with the sinner crowd one too many times, and God brought judgment on him a little later on. In fact, he had a joint venture
with the king of Jerusalem or Israel a little later on, and they lost all the ships that they had because he allied himself with the devil's crowd. Let me tell you something, neighbor. The Bible says, what business have we associating with that bunch?
Amen.
For the saint to collaborate with the sinner, the only thing we've got business talking about is somebody being saved. We have no business joining up with the devil's crowd. Now, you can't win them if you don't love them. Our job's to win them. You know what our philosophy is? How many of you have ever gone fishing without getting in the water? We'll pull us up a 55-gallon tub and put it in our backyard and fill it up full of water and put our line over in there and try to catch a fish. How ridiculous can you get? But in church, we do the same thing. We wait for the sinner to come and jump in our boat, and then we expect him to get saved. That's not what the Great Commission's all about. He said, go ye out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Yes, we're supposed to love them. Have that water. Glory to God.
Amen.
So what do they do? He talks to him because of the man of God. So that was the urgent inquiry. We need a man of God. And then we see further a very strange request in verse 15. The Bible said, read it with me, if you would turn your Bible there. Verse 15. Hallelujah. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. What a strange request. Here we have three armies that are in need of a miracle. They need water, and what does they do? The man of God tells them, get somebody to bring it, play a guitar or whatever. Amen. We need a tune here. I'm going to tell you this. It wasn't, baby, don't get hooked on me that they played. Listen. It wasn't sitting on the front porch just a swinging, being paid. Amen. You better have amazing grace. That sounds more like it, don't it? Notice what happens. As soon as he begins to pray, the hand of God comes along. Ah, hallelujah. Neighbor, I love to hear the songs of Zion. I love to hear it when the saints of God sing. And the power of God comes, and it's because of the water.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
The water. So he starts to proclaim his instrument. Well, what a strange thing. You know, the Bible tells us. Now, it's amazing to me. You read in the book of Ezekiel that the devil, his garnishments before the fall were instruments of music.
Right.
Amen. Before he sinned, he was the angel of music.
Right.
And the devil has manipulated that to a great extent today. Churches today, they have tattoo, earring wearing, getting up playing rock and roll music in the church house. Let me tell you, that's an abomination. It has no place. It has no place. It has no place. And it'll shipwreck you. Thank God for what we've heard here this week. Have you enjoyed that singing this week? Hallelujah. What's the good about it? They had the water. They had the water. Praise God, praise God. Without the water, these three armies were powerless. Could do nothing. So they begin to pray. You know, the Bible tells us this. We don't understand everything with our own, in our little finite minds. But the Bible does say that he uses the weak and the base things to confound the wise. He takes the things you and I can't explain, and he does great things with it. He takes the little, and he does a lot. Because he is God. Hallelujah. And always start singing, start playing. and the power start coming. And oh, Brother Allen, I've been in some good services with you, and the power of God comes down. How many of you believe that singing's going to be a part of heaven?
Amen.
How many of you believe shouting's going to be a part of heaven?
Amen.
You don't like shouting, you better just not plan on going. Amen. I believe that some folks like that wait on outside for a while to get used to what's going on the inside.
Amen.
Yes! That's going to be a place of rejoicing!
Amen.
Because of the water. But if you want the power of God, we better get to work. We must get to work. I'll explain that in just a minute. Hallelujah to Jesus. So they come together. And here he starts playing this music. And somebody's sitting off on the sideline thinking, what has this to do with the battle? God's just formulating his plan. He's got a plan, and he's going to use a very unusual thing to accomplish his task. God may be looking right now in this auditorium. You may think you're the very least one, and you're looking at the least one right here. But God wants to grab a hold of somebody, and through that individual, mold and make a vessel that he'll be praised and glorified.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Little boy one time, 4 years old, his mama made him take piano lessons. He hated it. My boy does too. But he takes it right on, baby. Only thing this little boy could play was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Well, his mama knew how he loved the piano. There was one of the greatest pianists in the world at that time coming to that nearby city. And she said, son, I'm going to treat you. I'm going to buy us some tickets on the front row seat. We're going to go hear this master of the piano. So she gets the tickets, and they get there about an hour before the curtain opens up. And she looks around, and she knows she's got some relatives in the back of that coliseum. Looks around, and the little boy is missing. So she thinks, well, he's back there with the family somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't think much about it. And then after some time goes on, the curtain opens, and there on the grand piano, this little four-year-old boy doesn't slip backstage. He's sitting there in the seat with one finger, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. The mama gasped for breath and said, what are we going to do now? The little boy didn't know it, but the master walks on stage.
Amen.
He looks and sees the little boy, and the mama starts up there to get him, and the master says, leave him alone. And he walks up, and the little boy looks up, and the master says, keep on playing, boy. Keep on playing. So he's a one finger and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. The master reaches over with his left hand and starts playing some bass notes. Reaches around the little boy with his other hand and starts playing up here. After a while, the most beautiful rendition of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star you've ever seen in your life. And he looks at the little boy and he said, you just keep on playing, boy. Hallelujah. You know what God wants to do to you and I? He wants to reach around you. He wants to reach around me and help us play a tune that'll be beautiful. And it takes him and the water.
Amen.
Just reach around us.
Right.
He'll play a tune with your life.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. He'll play a glory to God. He'll play a tune. That'll be the most beautiful tune you've ever seen.
Amen.
You'll get through and you'll say, I didn't know I could do that.
Bless you, brother.
Amen. That's what happens when God comes along. We don't supposed to know we can do that. Because we can't do that without the Master. He just says, keep on playing. Keep on playing!
Amen.
Keep on playing. You ever get discouraged? Every one of us have. But that's when he looks down and says, keep playing, boy. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. As soon as the hand of God came on, the prophet, he gives them a remedy. And that remedy is this. He says, I want you to get out here in this valley and start digging. Now, I want you to picture the scenario in your mind. or let us picture this in our minds. Here are three armies that are looking for victory. They're well equipped and they're on the way to battle. They find themselves in a desert place. They need water. But God tells the prophet, "You tell them to do this, and I'll give them water."
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I believe the ground was so parched it was cracking open.
Yes, sir.
He says, "You get out there and get your shovels and start digging."
Right.
He said, "I'm going to do it in an unusual way."
Right.
Without rain,
right.
Without wind, without thunder, without lightning. In other words, a little different than what you're accustomed to.
Yeah.
You just dig a ditch and make a way for me.
Amen.
Can you get, you understand where we're going with this? Hallelujah. So they get out there and they start digging. They start digging and they start digging and they start digging.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you this, thank God. When they started digging, I believe God started encouraging. I believe they got to get encouraged. And there in the midst of the desert, they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug. And it was drier than ever.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, they never did see the answer while they were doing it. They just had to do what God told them to do.
Amen.
You know what that's called? That's called living by faith. That's called living by faith. God wants us to believe for the unbelievable. He wants us to trust Him. And if we'll go to work, God will do His part. And if we go to work, He'll send the power.
Amen.
Little boy went to church one time. Thank God for church. I grew up in church. We used to have these Sunday school pens. When you go and you wouldn't miss Sunday,
right.
You'd get another thing added on to it, another bar. I had a string that long. I didn't have no choice. Mom and Daddy made me go. And she'd make Mom and make me sit there, and I might say this, Mother had a procedure on her heart today and everything went great. Hallelujah. And if I start cutting up, you know what Mom would do? She'd pinch the daylights out of me. You know what I'm talking about? Some call it child abuse. Mama called it just part of the plan.
Amen.
I was brought to church. This little boy went to church. And his mama didn't go to church. Somebody took the little boy, went on to church, and came back home after church and said, "Son, what did you learn today?" And he said, "You'll never believe what my Sunday school teacher taught us." Said, "God led the children of Israel to the Red Sea, and Moses called out his army engineers. They built a big old bridge over that thing. They went across with their tanks and their cavalry, called in the Air Force, and then came Pharaoh. They dropped a couple of H-bombs on them and kept on going." The mama said, "You don't expect me to believe that, do you, son?" He said, "No, but you really wouldn't believe what they did tell me."
Amen.
You know what? I believe it.
Amen.
Yes, I believe it. Name of God, true. He wants us to believe. Have faith to believe. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. Somebody said they drowned it in that the Pharaoh's army drowned in ankle deep water. Well, that would have been a miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. I believe it.
Yeah.
You see, everywhere in the Word of God, He blesses when faith is exhibited.
Yeah, amen, amen, sir.
When the man of God came up during the drought, Elijah goes to this little woman who's cooking her last meal. He says, "Cook me a cake. Don't have enough to do it. Just enough for me and my son, then we're going to die." He said, you cook for me first and God will make a way. In other words, you go to work, God's going to send the power. She does. God does. And it does. She went back to that old pot. Every time she'd go back and be meal down in there. Never was it ever used up. God sent the power.
Amen. That's right.
When his people went to work,
amen,
he'll do it for you and I too.
Amen.
You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. God's a God of power. And we're as an army going out to battle. Let me tell you this. The Bible said only for them to start digging. He didn't tell them to look for results. He said, you just go to digging. I'll take care of the results.
Amen.
You just dig a little bit. You dig a ditch and you keep on going. Don't you worry about the results. I'll send the results.
Amen.
Many times we as men of God, or even whoever, children of God, whoever, witnesses for Christ. We work, we slave, and we don't see much come from it. You keep on digging. You keep on digging. You keep on digging. God's going to send the power.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
And he'll do it just in time.
That's right.
You believe that?
Yes.
So they started digging. And I'm closing. I've already gone 45 minutes. And I said I'm going to finish before I did last night, and I'm going to do it. The Bible said that just as he had promised, they went out and they dug in ditches. And they got up the next morning, hadn't heard the thunder one bit, hadn't seen one flash of lightning. Never did they ever hit a spring, but them canals was flowing full of water. Oh, how did it happen, preacher? It happened when somebody obeyed God. God sent the word. God sent the command. And when they went to work, God blessed and sent the power.
Amen.
He'll do it for you.
Right.
And he'll do it for me.
Sure he will.
And he'll never fail.
Amen.
And he'll do it in the most unusual way. Without clouds.
You're right.
Without rain. Oh, sometimes I go and I witness to folks, and it seems like nothing happens, Brother Gary. But it's the end that God says, you keep on digging. Lost loved ones on their way to hell, and I'm thinking, God save them. He looks at me and he said, boy, you just keep on digging. God, what about the church that's not doing what I think it should do? You know what he says? Just keep on digging. But Father, I want to see more. He says, you just keep on digging. He'll send the power.
Amen. Amen.
You may not see it in the next month or the next week. I've had to dig before for years.
Yes, sir.
There's a lady in our congregation, Sister Fonda. You Georgia folks, I'm so glad to see you. All of you, not just the Georgia folks. Some folks from our church drove up here.
Yes, sir.
Sister Fonda prayed for over 20 years for her husband. And it didn't look any better, did it? Week after week, he was less concerned than ever before. One Sunday morning, I preached that morning on tithing. How many of you believe in that stuff?
Amen.
Well, that's not much of a message. Somebody gets saved on, yeah, it is. If you're a CPA, that's what he is.
Amen. Amen.
Just dug a little bit. I've looked out from the pulpit, and I know that you have too. Look out, you've dug, and right now I'm just like a limber dish rack. Many times I'm just after a service, and you men of God know what I'm talking about. You're just not fit for nothing, just wore out.
Right.
Because you've been digging.
Right.
You've been digging, you've been digging, you've been digging. You look out, give invitation. And you know, Brother Terry, sometimes it looks like nobody cares.
Yeah.
Looks like nobody's interested and nobody's being touched.
Yeah.
And you feel like quitting, but God says, just keep on digging.
Amen.
Brother Lewis got up that morning. came down to Soil.
Yes, sir.
20-something years of digging. Sister Funk got over here in the altar. I knelt down next to him. I said, "Brother, do you want to get?" He said, "Saved." Finish it up on me. I did a Holy Ghost dance all over the place. God came down. Listen, I'm telling you, neighbor, it's worth it to keep on digging around your household. It's worth it to keep on digging around your church. It's worth it to keep on digging around your community. You keep working, God will send the power.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up. One more person can get saved.
You're right.
What's the use? There's a boy one time walking down the beach picking up starfish, his old sand dollars, washed up with the tide. He's picking them up and throwing them back out in the water. The beach was full of them. There's an older gentleman walking behind him. He watched him for about 30 minutes. He said, "Boy, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm rescuing these starfish for these sand dollars."
Yeah.
It's not going to make that much difference. The little boy picked up one more and said he will to this one.
Amen.
Keep on digging.
Amen.
Keep on digging. It'll make a difference to somebody.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh God, tonight, help us, I pray. Lord, if there's one thing we need in our church, it's the power of God. We need the power in our organization as never before.
Yes.
Father, without you, without the water, and without the power of God that only you can give, our every effort, we're like these three armies, we're stuck.
Yes.